Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today we've got two of the main players of The Lost Weekend, which was this fantastic film we had at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2019. We've got writer-director Ryan O'Leary and lead actor Sam, and I should have checked on your name, but I'm going to try, Bartholomeos.
You're very close,
Bartholomeos?
Bartholomeos.
Yeah, Greek.
There you go. Perfect. How's it?
Greek is tough. Yeah. But thank you both for being here. One reason we've got you guys here is that The Lost Weekend is in season 4, episode 2 of the Discover Indie Film TV series. Super proud to have your film in the TV series. The TV series was born out of this podcast when I found out that the filmmakers who make shorts didn't have great options where their shorts played, whereas all the feature people are like, oh, I'm on iTunes and Amazon. I was like, well, we got to fix that. So we've kind of worked out a collective to put the TV series together. And I just want to tell you, I think everything about your film is great. We can talk more about the film when it comes up. But before we get to The Lost Weekend, why don't you guys introduce yourselves? And in theory, I just want to know your past. What inspired Sam to become an actor? What inspired Ryan to become a filmmaker? So, battle over. Who wants to go first?
It's all Sam.
All right, I'll go first. My name is Sam Bartholomeos. Ryan was drunk enough to have me play his lead for his short, and that was a really cool experience. I mean, even I remember we had a Skype call while I was auditioning and just kind of chatting with him about his vision, and just when you vibe with a director from a Skype call, you know you're going to vibe with them on set, and that's exactly what it was. I started acting when I was really young. Nothing outside of Queens, which is where I was born, raised, and am now. But when I got to high school, I went to LaGuardia High School for the performing arts, and that's when I learned about this art form as an industry, and you know, got representation, and then started going out on auditions. But yeah, it was like plays in Greek in Astoria. My parents are from Greece, and they raised me and my siblings to learn Greek and know the culture. So it was like full on Greek plays there, little like plays and shows in like junior high school, and got to LaGuardia and it was like, oh, this is like a whole other level.
I assume LaGuardia was something tough to get into. You had to audition and whatnot, or?
Yeah, I didn't know about the school. No one in my family is like in the industry. I had my neighbor Ashley Curry, who is also an actress, told me, you know, you should audition for LaGuardia, and she helped me find monologues and she coached me, and it was a whole audition process. It was 4 years of that, and then I had representation, so I didn't want to go away for school. Took a year off, went back, went to City College in Manhattan. And just was working, going to school, working, auditioning a lot, and really probably like my second or third year of college, things started really hitting. I booked a recurring role on Star Trek Discovery, and that show Bull, did an episode of Law and Order, and just it just kind of started rolling. You know, obviously Ryan Short. And now I'm in this series called Bridge and Tunnel on Epix, written and directed by Ed Burns. Yeah. So that's kind of everything in a nutshell.
That's excellent. I'm glad you mentioned the Skype introduction between you and Ryan. I think The Lost Weekend is honestly good in every way. And I'm sure when Ryan first met you, he was like, this is my Charlie. You are one of the pieces that make that film work so well. But Ryan, why don't you go for it? What led you to become a filmmaker?
Sure. So I wasn't really a film kid as like a child or anything, but in high school, I was really into punk rock. So I took a civics class thinking I would overthrow the system from within. But my school had a weird thing where basically the civics class half the year was a film studies class. So I ended up seeing like all these movies, like In the Heat of the Night, Philadelphia, Citizen Kane, like basically a lot of what you would expect. And I just fell in love with it because I didn't know you could do that with movies. And then I got into like Kevin Smith, Quentin Tarantino. And it was like basically the first thing I ever did that I felt like I ever had like a natural inkling to. Like it was still hard, but like I just had an understanding of it pretty quickly. So by the end of high school, I ended up applying to a couple of film schools and got into one in Long Island called Five Towns College. And that school, what really worked for me was I was allowed to make stuff. So I made, like my senior year, for example, I made 4 different films, but I probably made like 7 or 8 things that weren't necessarily great, but also weren't terrible when I was there. So it was kind of like through that, I kind of discovered like a passion and a purpose. And I realized like all these embarrassing stories from real life make for great scripts. And, you know, I made a feature film when I, like, right when I was out of college, I was 22 years old and just put, you know, everything on credit cards. And it was like a cool experience. And, so sometime after that, I wrote this feature film called The Lost Year that we came kind of close to making in 2016. And we had some really cool people attached at that point. And sure enough, some money fell through, and over time, nothing happened. And we had this money that we did raise just sitting and depreciating in value in an LLC bank account. So my one producer was like, why don't we turn it into a short film? And at first I was like, I don't want to do that. But then I thought about it more and I was like, oh yeah, like then we can at least the people who invested at that point have something to show for it. And then hopefully we get momentum to make the feature. And yeah, it was throughout that process that I got to meet Sam. It was an interesting situation where we worked with a great casting director, and none of the options for our Charlie were really clicking. Like we had one guy who I liked a lot, who was like kind of what I had in mind. And then I met Sam and he was totally different and had like a very nuanced take. And I was like, shit, like usually I do very, you know, more comedic stuff that leans into drama. But with Sam, I realized, oh, I could have this guy who can talk quietly and grab your attention. And I just thought he was by far like the most interesting choice. So yeah, we Skyped, and Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was like, what, 2 weeks before filming? Like
it was very sudden.
And Sam had this unusual experience where like, I think was our film like the first like lower budget thing you worked on where.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just very, it was so interesting to see, because it's like, you think like this guy coming from the world of Star Trek or whatever, like not that I expected him to be difficult at all, but he was just cool and went with the punches. And with like, there was in particular, the second day of filming was a very long day. We crammed a lot in. And like he kept up with it, and like it was cool, but it was very cool getting to work with like such a good actor. Even the other, because we were fortunate enough with that cast where it's just, you know, we had a lot of great working actors. And I remember Libe Barrar, who's in the first scene with him, she's in like a ton of stuff. She like pulled me aside and was like, he's really good. And so like I thought that was just really awesome. And Sam's just been a delight to work with, and it's been cool seeing Ed Burns discover him and make him the lead in a series since then.
Yeah, he's excellent. And like I said, the film, and it's funny because Libe, she's been in other films at our festival, and
yeah,
she's always fantastic.
My dog knocked.
But interesting, Andrew, it's funny, if you were watching, we're on Skype, so someone's camera just twisted upside down because a German Shepherd puppy attacked the laptop.
He just attacked my laptop.
But Ryan, did you guys shoot on digital or do you shoot on film? I'm forgetting
We shot on the Red. I believe it was the Red Epic Dragon. And but like what I try to do, especially for something like this, I work we had a great colorist who thankfully like owed our producer a favor and gave us a great rate. And what I like to do when I shoot on digital is try to add some texture. So at this point there is simulated 35 millimeter grain, which the first time I heard about that as being a thing, I assumed it was just some like cheesy marketing thing. But then when you see how it actually works, it adds a lot of texture to the image. And I think especially where you're doing something like our film, which is a lot of like steady handheld intimate camera work, I think that texture makes all the difference. Whereas if you're looking at this crisp image, I don't know that it would have served things as well. So it was cool because we got to add like another dimension to it. And like, there's just a lot more. I feel like it gives the image more depth. So it was digital, but there was some tomfoolery. And also, like, I know our DP shot in like something obscene, like 6K or 8K or something. That way we had a lot of flexibility in post as far as like altering the color and reframing if we had to, which I don't think we really reframed much of anything, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it has a film look, and I only asked also because I imagine with Sam coming from the world of Star Trek and whatnot, I've been there when the actor who is used to big budget stuff hops into an indie, and like when you say, okay, first take, second take was good, let's move on. And there's this look of like deer in the headlights of, what do you mean I don't get to do it seven more times?
Yeah, it's definitely, we definitely threw Sam into it because the film was structured with a lot of these really short scenes. So like technically, there were like around like 30 scenes that we shot in 3 days, including a couple that didn't make it into the short. So it was kind of fun throwing that at the – like I tried to prep Sam and as well as Gracie, who is also in multiple scenes in it, where it's just like, all right, we're just going to have to take off and go. And sure enough, we had this like big magic hour moment with them like in the skate park with their romantic scene. We always planned on doing like a long take, and every time we went to that location – there are these like gorgeous sunsets, and sure enough, we got there on a day where it was cloudy. It still looked cool, but I think it says a lot to the actors' abilities, though, because like on any movie, you're shooting out of order, but especially on this, it's like you're going out of order, and also there's not a lot of time between setups. So good luck, and it was cool getting to see them like run with it, and Sam did not seem to have any issues whatsoever with that kind of pace.
Yeah, and story wise, like, go ahead.
No, I was just speaking like that. That's I don't know. Not to say I was very comfortable like on the set of Star Trek, and there's something nice about having being in that environment. But also, I don't know. I just being in that sort of like okay, let's go. Like we got to get it now. Like in Star Trek, we were always on a close set. Like we were on a spaceship. Yeah. You know? So there's no. There are no variables to consider. Nothing else factors in. Where it's like, I kind of like the uncertainty of like, dude, we got to do it now. Like, I know you're on your coffee break, but we got to do it now. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm young, but I really don't care to have time, you know, like to myself. I just kind of want to get it done. And even like working with Ed Burns, like he's very much like that too, where it's like season one, I had a lot of scenes, and just getting so many things thrown at me. I don't know. I like to see how much I can take and what I can do with it. And also the similarity, like Ryan, everyone wanted to do the best for Ryan. Everyone was there like for the love we have for obviously the project film in general, but like for you, like, you tried to bring out as much as you could out of us. And that's something I look for in a director is, you know, the people around you, are they willing to do what you ask of them and more, you know? So it was a testament to you, man.
And honestly, I bet that I recall from the Q&A in 2019 with Ryan that the material is so well written. And it does feel personal to Ryan. So I'm sure that created a vibe on the set of just such positivity because it's so well written. I mean, Lord knows not every script you get is written so well.
Yeah, like I think like there's an extent of that I'll take credit for, but also like I'm pretty loose with like I usually tell my actors too, especially with certain scenes where like if sometimes what I wrote's not that good, you can change your line, or if something feels forced, like I always kind of try to encourage, because I try to work with people who are more qualified than me, and like just know it's like that perspective, they're thinking of way more. So if Sam like had an idea that, say, it didn't even necessarily make sense to me in the moment, like I'm going to probably try it, especially if it doesn't if it doesn't involve like having to relight or reconfigure something that eats up a ton of time, like I'll usually just let the actors kind of do their thing. And what's kind of fun with that is you get this mix where it is certainly very scripted, but then there's just moments and like some of my, I wish I could remember a specific thing that wasn't in the script that ended up in there, but there's definitely some of the best moments are just from the actors being comfortable and like being loose with it. I try not to keep it too clamped down to whatever nonsense I come up with. And like, I think it usually ends up kind of working out well that way. Cause yeah, you have people like Sam who are very considerate of their choices and they make interesting decisions that are maybe different than what I would have put down. And then it's cool. And then I get to take credit for it. It's great.
Yeah. And that works out really well. I mean, the chemistry between your Charlie and your Maggie May is just, it just jumps off the screen. It really does. So I'm sure that has to do with your directing style as well as the material you gave them, that their chemistry is just working so well.
Yeah. And great. Gracie, who played Maggie May, is just Gracie. So cool.
She's amazing. Like, she really is. I think, I forgot who, but one of Ryan's friends drove us to set. I think the first day or the second day, I don't remember, but I was in the car with her, her boyfriend, and her dog. And it was like, I don't know, 7 a.m. And she's just like a ray of sunshine, full of energy. And it's like, just, you can't help but feed off of that. You know, so she's incredible. And
yeah,
and
she's we the most fun person.
Yeah,
to be around. Like I sometimes describe her, she's like kind of a party by herself, not in like a weird way either. Like, but she's just, and it, she just has an energy that if you catch on to it and let the other actors do it, it kind of radiates and keeps things going. And she also like will just between takes, or like when she's like getting her mic tested, she like almost treats it as time to do stand up. So she's also just. She's thoroughly an entertainer, which is a lot of fun.
Which is funny because that kind of ties into the film, because when you describe that, it completely sounds like the character Maggie May at the holiday party, when every person at the party has developed a crush on her and is coming over to Charlie to say, don't let this one go. This is a good one. I mean, it's pretty clear how she's charmed the entire room.
Yeah, and that's kind of how Grace is as a person. So what's interesting about her was she actually was cast when we were doing the feature in 2016. Our casting director found her, and when I had my initial Skype call with her to feel things out, like she like basically said like, yeah, I really identify with this character, and she ended with the call saying like, dude, put me in your movie, which is like very assertive, but she was right. And it was cool to have her kind of, she was like out of the, her and Chris Ballant, who is the lead in my feature film, The Backseat, he played Charlie's roommate in this. He and her were the two that kind of stuck on board from the initial casting of the feature, which like I'm incredibly grateful for, because yeah, like other people, you know, they have no reason to want to do a short film version for a lot less money, you know, like the week after Thanksgiving. So it was cool having them stick along, and then getting to kind of, yeah, see Sam like vibe off them was very cool.
And was that like a year and a half, 2 years in between casting the feature and then shooting the short?
Yeah, I guess so. Cause yeah, we shot the short in like late November, early December of 2017. So yeah, it was about a year and a half, and the feature really got very close to happening, or at least like I thought it was very close to happening. And it all worked out well, because then the roles that we cast differently for the short definitely went to people where that worked a lot better. And like I said, Sam's take on the character, even though like it doesn't seem that way because he's that good, but it was different than what other people were bringing to the table or what I even imagined. And it just gave like a, just an interesting thing to play with. And also just Sam's like super likable. So like that kind of helps when you have a character that could be perceived as being a little whiny and entitled. So like it was cool seeing it kind of develop and come together that way.
For sure. Sam performing as Charlie, there was never a moment where I wasn't on Charlie's side. Yeah, even when he did seem a bit dour. And of course, you start us off with like maybe one of life's most embarrassing moments, which is the drunken knocking on the ex-girlfriend's door.
Yeah, that was a fun night. That was a really fun night.
Yeah, you got to toss a can of beer.
Yeah, Campbell's chicken noodle soup coming out of my mouth was super great. Oh man, that made me really want to throw up.
Yeah,
just keeping that in my mouth was you almost had me there. You almost had the real thing, Ryan.
Next time we gotta get you for real.
Blowing up the neighborhood at all times of the night.
And I guess I should ask you, Ryan, because the short. I love how the short pulls in so many elements, and you know, in 15 minutes, you pretty much cover from heartbreak to online dating to quick love story to, you know, the tough ending. And people who watch this should definitely have already watched The Lost Weekend on the TV series on Prime Video, but not to give away a super spoiler, but your ending basically makes me weep a little. Like I have to hold it back when you know, the thing with the appearance while he's watching videos on the computer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think you grabbed the first 15 minutes of the feature. Yeah. You rewrote a completely new, not a new script, but you pulled things from throughout the script.
Yeah, because if I was smart, a lot of times what filmmakers will do, and like Quentin Tarantino, I think, did this with Reservoir Dog, is they'll have like a sequence in their feature that could be a short film, and then they do that as they're developing it to raise money or whatever. The feature really didn't have that because the scenes were so quick, and the feature takes place over the course of like a year. So by compressing it down, what I kind of did was I repurposed a lot of scenes that existed in the feature. So the final scene of the short is like, I probably, if we're breaking down into acts, is probably the last scene of the second act, like going into like the third act. And then what I realized, thanks to my friend Bryce, who loves taking credit for this, he kind of had the idea of a certain character sort of appearing in that moment. And in the feature, that character, like it's in the feature, it's more definitive, and in a way, like the opposite of how you can perceive the ending of the short happens in the feature, where it's its own thing. So it was kind of cool getting to play with it and try to, because it was a weird thing, because in theory, the better, what a lot of ways to approach a short film would be to tell a more simple, a more contained little story with just a couple locations. And I kind of didn't do that, which on one hand, like it kind of works because it feels more like I wanted to do what felt more honest to the feature. And then also, even though the investors that put in money were really cool, I kind of wanted to honor their investment. So I didn't want to like create some totally different thing. And so I figured, why not get a few of these characters in there and see how it works. And then it like worked out in a cool way. And of course, just by having Reed Birney play the dad role just makes it very like, the dude has a freaking Tony. So like, you know, he knows what he's doing, and all the stuff the dad says, like all over those home movies, that was just Reed improvising without looking at any, like Sam was there with me. We just watched him for like 10 minutes, just say a bunch of dad related video stuff. And it was really moving just sitting there with him, listening to him do it. But I guess it shouldn't be surprising because he's Reed Birney. He's incredible. So, yeah,
for sure. So you kind of made fun of yourself that you didn't just shoot the first 10 minutes so that if you move forward with the feature, you don't have to reshoot that. But
yeah, like the first 10 minutes wouldn't, like the way it's structured too, it just wouldn't work. Like a lot of it really had to do with the way that the time constraint of the feature is. Like, I don't know, like a couple of my favorite scenes from the feature that really stand on their own really well, like I could not figure out a way to shoehorn them into the short. Like there's like just some really, desperate scenes with Sam's character that I would have loved to have like taken us, but it just didn't work in the very tiny. So like there really wasn't the option to do that, or I guess like I could have just taken a random big scene, but like I don't know. I think this was like a more honest way to show what the feature could be while having it stand on its own, and then just lucking out with Sam and Reed for that ending where it's like, okay, this is a very moving ending. And it's pretty much because of these actors doing a lot with their faces, like doing very little physically, but yet conveying so much. So I'm glad we went in that direction, which is definitely the less conventional way to do the short feature thing.
Yeah. In fact, I just want to say you're completely coming across that it's actually integrity. You had this integrity towards the short that you weren't going to, you wanted to make this short film as good as a short film can be, instead of just making it fully just serve the possible other project. You said, no, if I'm going to make this film as a short, I'm going to make the best short I can.
Yeah. And for example, like all that, there are Christmas scenes in the feature, but the bulk of the way that Christmas scene is presented happens on the 4th of July in the feature, because it's the middle of a feature length movie that takes place over a year. And the holidays kind of bookend the feature. So with this, like the other thing I learned very early in film school, if you want to like have your good production value for not that much money, if you set your thing on like Halloween, New Year's, or Christmas, you get to use cheap party decorations and it looks really good on film. So that also made it very easy, because it's like, oh, everyone has Christmas decorations. We could have all these cool colors and lights and have it make sense for the story. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the cheapest week of the year to buy Halloween costumes is the first week in November, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Got to do a Halloween movie then.
Well, so did you have a, you know, were you got in your whole festival run before COVID hit?
Basically, yeah, because your festival was towards the tail end, and then we had, right as COVID got really bad, like when, you know, the Tom Hanks news came out and all of that, I was actually... We were at a festival in Manchester, England. It was one of the last ones that we were supposed to go to anyway. And I happened to be in Paris for the day when all that news, and it was just this crazy, stressful thing. And so, and then we also had a screening planned for Italy where, you know, we went through the mildly expensive process of getting subtitles added and making a DCP from a subtitle version. And this like nice festival in Italy was supposed to happen in April. And of course that got moved to online. And it was interesting to just see our last few screenings turn virtual and then like kind of waiting that out. And it was a very, we had a very solid run, but yeah, we missed out on like our last couple of things. Like the one that, yeah, the Italy one irks me, cause it's like, man, it took me a really long time. It's cause like I ended up getting it translated, but adding the subtitles myself and learning how to kind of do that. And just, it was a lot more work than I anticipated. So if any Italians are listening, I could send them a screener where they can see. Of course, if they're listening to this, I'm sure they understand English enough not to need it. But
yeah, no, those subtitles, that's a ton of work. You were actually doing the time codes and everything manually yourself?
Yeah. The festival gave us a free translate. Like they translated all the dialogue for us. So I was like, oh, this isn't going to be that bad. And then it was like, a week, you know, for like a week straight working for 4, 5, 6 hours at a time, and then doing a first pass and realizing, oh my God, these words are not on the screen long enough, and having to, it was a nightmare. And then like, yeah. And then of course that's one of the ones we did not get to have the in-person screening for,
but at least you avoided being in Europe the week that we shut the borders and like there was that mad rush for Americans to come home. It sounds like you almost lived that.
Pence like made some sort of announcement about like restrictions, but like it kind of didn't really apply to Americans. So we were fine, but for about a day or two, it was very spooky. And we had our screening in England was like the day after, like the shit hit the fan. So it was very weird going to that. And then they had like the festival had like an after party at a bowling alley with karaoke, and just seeing a crowd like passing around the same microphone and touching things at that point. Like it was very eerie and weird. It was a very strange time to be traveling and like on the other side of the ocean, but it ended up being fun. Like, so
for sure. It all worked out. Well, so for both of you, I'm sure you were enthusiastic about the feature. Did COVID hitting sort of put the brakes on that?
Yes and no. Like, I think, one, like, there hasn't been any person or company has the resources to make the feature or make it possible, like, that would help enough to get the momentum going. And then secondly, during COVID, like the initial thing, I wrote another script that was more achievable budget wise or so I thought. So I kind of was like, all right, let me try to see how that feels. And then a lot of people I was talking to, both when I was initially raising money for the last year and then with this other project, they kept saying like, you know, I know people who can deal with like $1 million, $2 million budgets, but they wouldn't do something this low. So like, I've been kind of trying to get back into the last year with the mindset of like, I don't know, Sam's a TV star now. Like, why don't we try to make it for like, not a huge budget, but like, yeah, maybe try to get $1 million and see what we could do with that. Cause it has the feature, much like the short, just, it has these quick scenes, a lot of locations, a lot of speaking roles. And so like where I've been leaning with that is to almost try to get some momentum going, possibly with something else that's lower budget, and see, like, I don't know, maybe I'm going to call some people out to see like, hey, remember when you told me you'd be able to help if this was a bigger budget thing? Here you go. And then it's like, by the way, Sam's like, we knew he was a star then, but like he's the lead on an Ed Burns project. Like, that's got to carry some weight. So like, that's kind of been the way I've been trying to reframe my mind around it. And like, who knows if that will work, but it's also just like, all right, you're telling me if we tried to make it for more money, well, let me present you with $1 million version of this, and we'll see if, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But at the end of it though, I'm happy with the short, and I think it tells its story, and I've been happy with the reception, and getting to know like all the actors and crew has been incredible. So hopefully we get to make the feature. Hopefully if anyone's listening wants to help out with that, I am all open to talking further. But yeah, I think we might try to go in the direction of like raising enough money to do it comfortably, which I've never done with anything, but it seems like maybe that's the way to go with this one.
I mean, that's always tough, but you've got this great cast, and I mean, you've got Sam is here on this podcast. Like, Sam is still involved in the Lost project. So I think I'm interpreting that to mean that there's a lot of devotion to it and a lot of affection for this project.
Yeah, like, you know, our producer, Anthony Padone, is all in on it. And so it's just getting the money where it needs to be. And like, probably, you know, who knows? There's other supporting roles that are in the feature version that are in the short where it's like, I don't know, maybe, you know, we'll cast someone who is enough of like a get where it'll make everything fall in place. But it's, you know, it's still something I very, very much want to make. And I'd like to make it with as many of the people from Lost Weekend as possible, because it was the good experience where like I don't have any real major or minor complaints about anyone. And it was just cool getting to work with like such seasoned professionals. It was just a great time.
And Sam, did you get to, I mean, you came out to LA, or I don't know if you were based in LA, but you were at our festival, I believe.
Yeah,
like,
I was.
Did you get to travel around with this film a bit? Did you manage to get that in your schedule, or?
No, that was the only festival I actually made it to.
You were at one there. In New York.
I was. Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. I was. Sorry. So it was those two. I was in LA, doing a play over at Center Theater Group, and, Ryan was posting about that film festival. So I was like, I can come to this. So I'm going to come.
Yeah. And also, no, Sam, don't be humble. Whose play was it?
Ryan. It was a new play by Ethan Cohen called Plays a Poem. And it was at Center Theater Group. It was in association with the Atlantic here in New York. And we were supposed to do it in May and June of last year. But we all know what happened. So... we'll see. Hopefully they bring it back and we can do it in New York. But
live theater got slammed. And by the way, it's good to hear that you are an actor who enjoys doing live theater stage work too. And that comes across in this film for sure, that I think you can always tell when an actor's performance has more dimensions to it. And they almost always seem to be people who perform on stage for that live audience.
Yeah, that's how I started. You know, it was always theater, and then found my way more towards film and TV, mostly TV. But yeah, those are my roots. And I love theater. I really do. I love them both. I know everyone always asks it, which one do you prefer? I mean, I love and hate them both for different reasons, but yeah, I love that I did that project and then went back to TV, and hopefully we'll do it in New York. I really wanted to. We'll see.
Yeah, I also learned, because I got to go to the closing night of that play, that like Sam can do like a bunch of accents and stuff very well. Like, how would you describe the accent you had to do in that play?
It was 1912 Natchez, Mississippi. So it was a Mississippi accent. But very, very dated. So I love accents. I mean, talking about how, like, I got into acting, like, I loved doing voices and, like, making up all these characters and, like, watching, like, old mob movies with my dad, which were, like, so inappropriate for my age, but I guess dad thought it was cool. And, like, just recreating scenes like that. And just, like, I loved Scarface, so I always do, like, Tony Montana, like, Al Pacino is Tony Montana. And, yeah, I love accent work. I really do. I wish I could do more of it.
Excellent. Well, and, I guess we know what Sam's been up to. Are there more things that, people should look out for? Or?
For me, I mean, yeah, we just got picked up for season two, Bridge and Tunnel on Epix. So that's kind of what's on the horizon for me. Filming that soon, be out probably in January, February, somewhere there. And then on to the next project. Hopefully the lost year.
Yeah.
And you, Ryan, you have a couple scripts, it sounds like, that you're working on.
Yeah, I have another feature that was really trying to get off the ground by the end of the year, but if that doesn't, which it may or may not for a few different reasons, if that doesn't happen, there's a very short that I wrote that I want to do by the end of the year. It's just like a 1 day, 2 minute short thing. And then I can't get into it, but like, I kind of stumbled into making a documentary, which I never thought I'd do, but some very, not to sound precious, but like a very important story kind of started developing in my community. And we've already shot a day on it. We're filming again tomorrow. And that's a very weird thing where it feels like I don't know what I'm doing, but it felt very important to get in there because it was a story that wasn't really getting the right kind of attention. And then, yeah, hopefully the lost year, especially now that it's really accessible and out there, I'd really like to get that made and use whatever momentum comes off other projects. It's kind of cool having with the lost year, since that was fairly developed and the script went through a lot of phases and, you know, different attachments earlier on, where it has like some level of sort of legitimacy where like if someone asked to read it or to see a lookbook or something, like I could send it immediately. So, you know, I'm really, it would be great to get that off the ground. But yeah, right now there's a few different things going because I'm starting to learn that it is much better to have something that you can try to make when, say, financing falls through or a project gets paused for a few months. So this is like been the first time in a while where I feel like there's an overwhelming amount of film related things for me to be working on. So it's pretty exciting. And, you know, hopefully we'll find a way to squeeze Sam into everything I do because he's wonderful. And also, like, he's going to be the big name that I use to sell my project in a couple of years. I don't say that to most people, but with Sam, it's like I always joke with him about Marvel calling him up, and just like it's every time I see him like posting like on Instagram him working out, it's like, all right, he's gonna be in the next Spider-Man movie or something. Like
without failure, I'll get a message from Ryan, you know, like, so they hired you, didn't they? I'm like,
right, well, you're on. Not yet. You're gonna be in season two of Loki.
Right.
Well, before we run, I have one more compliment for you guys. And this, to me, it's kind of funny, but I've actually, as a film festival programmer, of course, I watch a ton of films, like over 1,000 a year. And I've become a connoisseur of the film title font. And I just want to tell you that in your film, especially because it comes in early, but the way you hit us with The Lost Weekend and boom, and it just, you hit it and it's got a music cue and you used a great font.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it says something about the filmmaker and the team when they take the time, like if you don't take the time for a good font, then like probably the rest of the film ain't going to have attention to detail.
Yeah. I got to give my friend Taylor Levy credit for that. So he's an editor who, he cut a Nick Cage movie. He's worked on just a ton of things with great people. He's doing insanely well. And I somehow talked him into like doing some like additional editing with me for a couple days on this. And that was something he did pretty much immediately. And I was like, all right, I like it. And he's like, yeah, this is just a placeholder. But then I kept looking. I'm like, shit, this is really, no, this is it. And that's what happens when you get someone really, really good at their job for even just like, yeah, because he had like 2 days in his schedule where he like did a number of little things that made the movie so much better. And got to give credit to Taylor. And he's doing very well, that guy. But
well, that's fantastic. Well, before I start naming all the websites and social media handles, do you guys want to throw any out there?
Sure.
Sure.
On most social media, you can get me at The Bloody Mess. It's on Twitter, Instagram, probably some other stuff. And then there's a Facebook page for the movie that hasn't been updated in a minute, but The Lost Weekend Movie. And yeah, and I've got a very out of date website, RyanO'LearyFilms.com, that hopefully, now that I'm working on a few different things, I really need to get on top of updating that. So maybe by saying it here, I'll do that bit of work.
Excellent. And Sam?
Yeah. On, I believe, all social media, I think it's just my name. I think it's just Sam Bartholomaeus, at Sam Bartholomaeus. And Ryan knows about this, but a buddy of mine and I, we're starting a podcast ourselves. It's called Genuinely Curious, and episodes will be out in November. We're just trying to get as many as we can so we can push them out. But Genuinely Curious, yeah.
Excellent. All right, well, now I'm going to name all the websites and handles I have to name. And I didn't warn you guys about this, and then we stop recording. Then we'll start recording again for you to name your favorite films and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Those four questions. But The Lost Weekend is in season 4, episode 2 of the Discovery Indie Film TV series. So you just go to Prime Video and search for Discovery Indie Film, and there it is. It's a fantastic film. It's actually the film that opens for you, called Flat. Two great films in one episode. Every episode's a half hour. And if you want to learn more about Discovery Indie Film, just go to discoveryindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's at DIFWINS. And like we said, The Lost Weekend, I met these guys at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, which I program. If you want to learn about that, it's shermanoaksff.com. And social media is at shermanoaksff. And there's a sister festival. That festival is Sherman Oaks is every November. Every June, we do Film Invasion Los Angeles, and that's filminvasionla.com and at filminvasionla on social media. And I forgot I'm supposed to do this. I hear more professional people do this all the time. If you're listening to this podcast, give us 5 stars on iTunes and in anywhere else you can. And while you're at it, go to Prime Video or Amazon.com and look up Discovery New Film. And come on, give Ryan's film 5 stars on there. Give season 4 5 stars. Oddly enough, all the stars that went for season 1, like, stars are season based. Isn't that weird when you think you do the whole series?
Huh. Yeah.
So I got to be a star whore. I got to beg for the 5 stars. But I think that's all I need to say. So thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ryan, for doing this.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Cool.
Yeah, and thanks for having us.
Yeah, and I wish you both extremely well with everything you do, including the lost year.